Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime! Another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotu.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Like which to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 85 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audiotu.com, and with me on the line once again, the world famous genius, Shelton Muller. I'll let you explain that one.
Yes, hello. This is a world famous genius, Shelton Muller here.
Yeah.
And may I just say that E does equal MC squared, being me and what's his name? Is that curly haired fellow? We worked it out.
I'm really well. You got you, Bruce? You
yeah,
well?
Good. Yeah, really good.
You should be. You just received your copy of Lightroom in the
mail. I did. No. Yeah. The courier came to the door just courier. As we were about to start recording. So I've got my boxed copy of Adobe Photoshop Lightroom. That's awesome. What it sounds like.
Is that what it's like to be an Adobe ambassador, is it?
It is.
Couriers arriving on your door.
You just ring up and go, hey, can I get a copy of this? And they go, yeah, sure.
There you go.
So I'm looking forward to installing that.
Yes, I can imagine.
I just hope I can transport across everything that I've done in Bridge so far. Mm-hmm. In terms of metadata and ratings and things. Hopefully, I would assume, because they all come out of the same company, that all of that stuff will transfer across quite nicely. So
you'll have to keep us posted on that. Yeah. I would imagine that Adobe would be smart enough to make the two compatible.
You'd think so.
You know. So now you want me to explain this genius comic of yours?
Oh, you probably should.
Perhaps we should. Well, it actually wasn't your comment, neither was it mine, because of course we would not be quite so egotistical. But one of our friends from Melbourne, Ian Reed, called me a genius, and of course he has never met me that I know of, anyway. Although the name does sound familiar, Ian. If we have met, let me know, would you? You are in Melbourne, but so who knows? But anyway, Ian's email reads, and we read this for a purpose, not just for the sake of our flailing egos, but for a purpose. Shelton and Bruce, thanks for the comments on my last email in relation to the purchase of lenses. Shelton wondered where I got his list of possible lenses. I had said it was on one of his sites, but it was, in fact, on the Total Image site at www. We'll put the link on audiotu.com, but it's totalimage.com.au, and then you click on an article called Which Lenses to Buy. It may be a useful link for others. By the way, it's funny how some photos just grab you. He says, I've been completely captivated by the image of the dog on the cover of Total Image. Now, one thing I forgot to mention is that the latest issue of Total Image and Better Pictures is out. If you're an Australian listener, head down to your local photo retailer or camera house store and ask for a copy. But the cover is, you can see it on my blog, actually, which is sheltonmuller.blogspot.com. And he says, anyone who can take a photo like that has to be a genius. Is there a chance of hearing how that photo was taken? Well, Ian, I'll give you the story. I was up in Sydney a few months ago for an event called Shutterbug 07, which was by a friend of mine called Mark Berlace. And while we were there, we thought, to hell with this.
You guys went on a photo walk, didn't you?
We did. We went on a photo walk. Mark was busy making phone calls, and we thought, let's go and take some photos. Now, we were a three-minute walk from Bondi Beach, so we went down to Bondi Beach, and it was a pretty windy, sort of oogie sort of day. But myself and Greg Bayer and Dan Paris and Otto Millar, we all went down to the beach, and we did some photographs. And basically, I got talking to this lady who was walking her dog, and it was this, as you can see, if you have a look in the cover, it was a personality-filled little dog. And simply, I had my 17-50 Tamron, the 2.8 that I love, on my D200. I crouched down, I interacted with the dog, he put his face into my lens, and I just grabbed a motor drive series of shots. It was just one of those moments. It was really not that difficult to do. It was just a matter of the wide-angle lens gave you the interesting perspective of the dog and everything behind it. Now, for the sake of the cover design, the shot has had to be flipped, so it was actually, the real shot is the other way around.
Oh, okay.
But apart from that, that's basically it in a nutshell, Ian. I didn't really do anything that special, to be quite honest with you.
So was there any fill flash, or was it just all available light?
All available light. It was an overcast day. Yeah. And if I have one complaint about it, because the shot was a grab, the camera actually focused on the dog's body, and his face is slightly out of focus. But it works for me, and that's okay.
I sort of perceived that as a bit of motion blur, actually.
I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And it really, literally was a grab. I must admit, when I'm walking around, I have my camera set, if I'm in a situation like that, on something that if I see it, I can grab it.
Yeah.
And then I will swap to manual mode, you know, when I'm taking time, even if that time is only 10 seconds. But if I need to grab a shot, I want the camera ready to do so. So, Ian, unfortunately, there were no secrets. It was just a matter of the right lens and the right perspective.
So, were you in aperture priority or shutter priority?
I believe I was in aperture priority.
Yeah.
I usually prefer that mode because I like to control my depth of field as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And I it was just as simple as that. And I think it was a case of you know, knowing the perspective I wanted and with the lens, and also how my viewpoint, knowing what viewpoint I wanted. And that was the thing. I literally had to crouch right down and interact with this dog in order to get the photograph. But it worked.
Yeah.
So, Ian, that's basically it. Bondi Beach, bit of a walk, and the right camera at the right time. It was really nothing spectacular. But we do have a couple of emails to get through today, and then we'll do that. So should we insert the email music now?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to have to come up with some email music, Bruce. Dun, 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 dun. And we'll just talk about a few emails, and then we're going to finish off with a couple of things. So thank you very much, Ian, for calling me a genius. You've never met me.
The check's in the mail.
the check's in the mail. Yeah. I'm no genius, mate. I'm just a lucky guy, really. So if you want to see that image, you can go to my blog, or you can go down to
your local... I'll post it on the...
You can post it on audiotoyou.com. Have a look at the image that indeed Ian is talking about. But that basically, it's as simple as that.
Can we post the alternate version of it as well?
Okay. the flipped? Which?
No.
Which?
No, the one that you did.
All right. Shall I go through the story on that?
Why not?
Okay. There are some new laws been passed in Australia about smoking in public places, and it's been a fair cause for debate in this country, because now in hotels and restaurants you can't, and well, we haven't been able to smoke in restaurants for a long time, but they've really clamped down on where you can smoke in public places in this country recently. And smoking has been a bit of a political issue here. So silly me decides that what he's going to do, and it was completely fluke, it was absolutely no relationship at all, but I had an image ready for the front cover of Total Image that was of a gaucho ranch owner named Marco in Argentina. And he's standing, you know, naturally lit in his barn, and he's got he looks very Julio Iglesias, very Latino, and he's got a cigarette just a few inches from his face, and he's standing looking into the camera. Great shot, and we designed the cover, and I sent it off to my business partner and to get it all printed, and he rings me back and he says, "Are you crazy? Have you not been listening to the news? We have a man smoking on the front cover." So I didn't see a problem. He saw a problem. He's smarter than me. I went with him. And suddenly I needed a whole new cover shot. But in order to sort of get a bit cheeky, well, we chose the dog for the cover shot. But in order to get a bit cheeky, I actually photoshopped a cigarette in the dog's mouth and sent it back to my friend and said, "Behold, the new cover," back to my business partner. I never did get a response from John, actually, on that. But yes, we'll post both versions. That's fine. So if you want to see what I did with a little bit of fun with my business partner John, then have a look at audiotoyou.com for the other version. But enough of that. Okay. Enough of the giggle stuff. Shall we, Bruce? Shall we get on?
Yes,
the...
Yes.
Okay.
Move on to the substance.
Now, Nino, you've got a Coke and question, a Coke and filter question. And he says, "I've done all my homework based on your recommendations, even though some of the feedback from people is that an old system, I'm still going ahead, is that Coke and filters are an old system." He's talking about Coke and filters, as I value your opinion. He said, "One question, when you use the Coke and system in landscape mode, I can understand the concept, in other words, horizontal composition. However, if you want to take a landscape image in portrait mode, obviously you would have to alter the Coke and filter holder to suit. Does the holder allow this?" Yes, it simply spins on the ring. Nino, all right, it's a rudimentary question, you say, but I thought I would ask. There is no such thing as a stupid question or a rudimentary question. The Coke and filter system rotates, and you can shoot at any angle, and you can turn your grad filter or your, you know, whatever you want to on the ring that attaches to the front of the lens. So hope that helps you out there, but if it doesn't, let me know. Now... We have an email from John G. in St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you very much for sending that. John, we really do appreciate that you've listened to the Shutters Inc. podcasts. Now, Bruce, did you take on board his comment about the accessibility of all the former podcasts on the new website?
Not yet. It is on all my list.
Okay, because apparently I've had a few people comment, and John G. from St. Louis, Missouri has commented that it's difficult to find the older podcast in the new website layout.
Right. I think that comes down to changing a setting in WordPress about how many items to publish in the feed.
Right.
So I might have to look into that.
A lot of people just expect it to come through on their iTunes library and download previous issues. So thank you very much for letting us know that. A lot of the things that you mentioned, John, that are subjects for discussion, we actually have discussed in quite some detail in former podcasts. So get back to us if there's something more that you want. For instance, you mentioned the importance of line, shape, form, texture, color, black and white in composition. We talked about that very recently. We've talked a lot about the things that you've asked with respect to depth of field, the color wheel, natural light and flash, those sorts of things. So if any of you are listening and we have not covered those to the degree you would like, let us know. It may be that, John, you haven't come across those podcasts as yet. If they aren't explained to your satisfaction, by all means, let us know, and we will certainly, you know, expand upon those ideas. Andrew from Nottingham sent us three emails, and one is actually going to just be the subject for our final discussion today, but you ask a few questions, and let's get to them. They are, of course, one of the final one that you talked about is getting it right in camera, which is a philosophy we expound here at Shutters Inc. to the best of our ability. Anyway, get it right in camera. Andrew, thank you for sending all your panoramas and your images through, and thank you for mentioning that you gave the Coke and Blue Yellow polarizer a try. Bruce, have we Nottingham sent us three emails, and one is actually going to just be the subject for our final discussion today, but you ask a few questions, and let's get to them. They are, of course, one of the final one that you talked about is getting it right in camera, which is a philosophy we expound here at Shutters Inc. to the best of our ability. Anyway, get it right in camera. Andrew, thank you for sending all your panoramas and your images through, and thank you for mentioning that you gave the Coke and Blue Yellow polarizer a try. Bruce, have we uploaded some of his images onto AudioTU?
Not yet. They will get posted up as I post this podcast.
Great. Okay. Terrific. Because there are some great examples of the blue-yellow polarizer that Andrew has used. So have a look at those. He asks, do you use auto white balance set to sun or cloud according to the conditions? Shooting in RAW, it doesn't really matter. And you're right, because, of course, you can change your color balance without degrading the image as you go in RAW. But I use auto white balance depending on what conditions I'm in. In other words, how quickly do I have to shoot? But if I know I'm in a situation whereby, like, for instance, on a wedding, maybe I will use auto white balance if I'm in a situation where it's going to constantly change. But then I will shoot RAW and JPEG simultaneously now. And so if there's an issue, I can go to the RAW and I can adjust it balance range or the color temperature range that the camera gives me. That also means that if I'm using a filter, I know and can predict the exact results. For instance, if I was to use a warming filter on a landscape, which I'd probably prefer to do rather than change or alter the white balance, I would set according to the conditions, maybe a cloudy or a sun white balance setting, and then use my warming filter, because that way, even by seeing through the viewfinder, I can predict the result. Whereas if I've set to auto white balance and then I put a warming filter on, I've just thrown everything, haven't I? I've thrown the way that the camera's reading the light.
Yeah.
And so it may automatically compensate. So auto white balance, yes, is a very handy thing. And in most cameras these days, it's quite accurate. But if I'm in a situation whereby, you know, I know what the conditions are, I will prefer to set up according to those conditions and my white balance. But here's an idea. Now, we have talked about using a gray card in previous podcasts, and I've fallen in love with the little Lastalite Easy Balance, which is a little fold-out gray card that you can fold into a pocket-sized circle and put it in your pocket. Now, if you were in a situation, let's say you were walking around a particular landscape whereby you know, I know what the conditions are, I will prefer to set up according to those conditions and my white balance. But here's an idea. Now, we have talked about using a gray card in previous podcasts, and I've fallen in love with the little Lastalite Easy Balance, which is a little fold-out gray card that you can fold into a pocket-sized circle and put it in your pocket. Now, if you were in a situation, let's say you were walking around a particular landscape or seascape or, you know, an area where you want to retain some sort of consistency. Maybe you're doing a photographic shoot with a model inside a particular building, and you want to keep all those colors balanced. You know that the situation isn't going to necessarily change in terms of color temperature, but your camera may read it differently. Take one reference photograph with the model holding a gray card, and then in Photoshop, have that image just inactive, just open in Photoshop, and open up all your other images. And if you want the color to remain consistent between the shots, then get your eyedropper tool, which is found in the curves box, and get the middle eyedropper. Now, if you have one image open and active, and another image, the one where the model or, you know, the landscape or whatever contains the gray card, then you would take your gray eyedropper or your middle eyedropper, and you click it on the gray card that is in the inactive image, because that's your reference point. Mm-hmm. And if you do that for every active photo that you open in Photoshop, you refer constantly back to the gray card that you photographed in and have, you know, as an inactive image in Photoshop, it will keep all of your colors and your exposure pretty balanced, pretty much the same. So if you're having white balance issues, you know, in a location, for instance, that may help you. And, you know, that is one of the issues that has always plagued photographers, digital or film, you know, keeping consistent color and white balance in one location.
As an alternate way, could you also open up the image with the gray card, mm-hmm. take the middle eyedropper reference off the gray point, and then save that as a levels profile?
Yes, you could.
And then load that each time?
Yes, you could. Yeah. The only reason I've suggested that way is that you've got the two pictures to refer to and you can see right. what happens immediately. But yep. your way is also very true.
Right.
And that can also be done. So you can save that and use that. But I like to do the two because that way yep. right there and then I can see whether they match.
Yeah.
And that's my preference. Yours is equally viable. And that's the thing about Photoshop or any image enhancing program. Really, there are, you know, 16 ways to do the one thing.
Yeah.
And that is just my personal preference. You'll find others, as indeed you did immediately, Bruce, with your sure. solution. But that's one way of getting that correct, of course. So, you know, I hope that, you know, gives you some help. But we wanted to, you had a particular website that we were going to talk about that really interested you, Bruce. And that was, of course...
Yes.
You want to mention it, or shall I?
Yeah, I found... Yeah, well, I'd forgotten about that, and I haven't got it. I haven't got the link right in front of me, but I do okay. remember that there was this site called DIYphotography.com.
.net.
Oh, yes. .net, was it? Okay, thank
yep.
you.
And, www.diyphotography.net.
Yep. Well, I'll put the links up in the show notes. But anyway, this guy has done all of these little home handyman projects for building things like soft boxes and light tents and... Yeah, little product studios where you...
...using photograph for, I think it was Ryobi Drills. It was
right.
for a magazine, and they had promised that they would actually provide the image for the advertisement. And so I was working for this magazine. Now, I needed to provide a softbox-styled, you know, product image. But I had no money and no equipment. I had, you know, a medium format camera
right.
and a flash and a very few basic things, but I'd sort of been thrown into the world of freelance professional photography without real planning on my part. It just happened that way. And I needed to produce this image. So not having the money, not having the equipment, I really needed to do what this website expounds.
Yeah.
And that is be a DIY kind of guy.
Yep.
And now the only thing that I could come up with in a hurry was to inflate a plastic shopping bag, one of those translucent
right.
type
yep.
shopping bags, wrap it with an elastic band around the end of my flash gun, and that was my softbox. That
wow.
was my, you know.
And it worked?
It worked a treat.
Wow.
It worked a treat. And because I'd started off with such minimal equipment and was being given so many interesting assignments. It actually blew my wig. I didn't know what to do. Naturally, I wanted the work, and so I said, yes, sure, I can do that. And then went home and just consequently,
had a meltdown.
How
the hell am I going to do that?
And necessity really is the mother of invention. And this DIY photography site gives us some great ideas. Now, there is also another website called strobist.blogspot.com.
Okay.
Now, I'll give you that link too, Bruce.
Yeah.
When this fellow is the master of Flash.
Oh, really?
He is the master of adapting Flash and making your own filters, diffusers, grids, wow, spots, honeycombs for your home Flash unit, and then using it. And his website is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, cool.
It's called Strobist.
Yeah.
And it's along the lines of your DIY. And I would recommend that, because we've talked so much about Flash, we've talked, and we've had so many emails about how to do this, how to make Flash work. And we've had so much feedback. We've done so many podcasts on it. These two sites alone will help you understand that, there are principles here that if you understand the principles, you can work with anything to make it work. It's not about buying the product and that will solve my problem. Mm. It's about understanding the principle behind the problem, the principle behind the light, the principle behind the technique, the principle behind what you need, and then thinking on your feet. And I'm the world's worst engineer. I really am. I am not a particularly practical person when it comes to doing things around the house. Put a hammer in my hand and I just think, what angle would I light it on? Should I shoot it from above or, close? Would I use a softbox or a brolly? I don't know. It's about the only thing I know how to do with a hammer. Same with a saw. I'm shocking that way. But I have learned that necessity is the mother of invention, and it's not a bad thing. I know if I think of photographers who've just gone straight into it and they've had all the money and they bought all the gear and produced beautiful work, but would they be able to think of a solution on the spot if they didn't have that kind of equipment?
Yeah.
Would they be able to say, okay, I have a flash and a piece of A4 photocopy paper.
Yeah.
I can do something with this.
Yeah.
Do they? And that is where if a site like DIY Photography and Strobist are really great, not only, of course, they'll tell you how to do this and how to make this, but what they're doing in the process is telling you, well, really, what you need is this. Adapt something, make something, think about it on your feet.
It's almost the, give the man a fish or teach the man a fish kind of
absolutely
philosophy, isn't it?
Exactly. That I couldn't have thought of a better way of putting it. If you understand the principles of what you need to achieve and what you have, there's very little you can't actually achieve. If you have a home studio, DIYphotography.net is going to be perfect for you.
Well, I don't yet, but I'm seriously thinking of trying one or two of those out because it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine and I, we needed to make some large scrims, so which is, sort of like a see-through or translucent reflector, diffuser, that. And basically all we did was we got some translucent material at a shop. We got some PVC pipe that, plumbers and electricians use, made a frame, and with little corner pieces, we could disassemble it in seconds, put it together in seconds. And it became, we had this sort of 5-foot square scrim that we used for, Yeah, and it was just, fabulous. We made it ourselves. We knew what we needed, and we didn't want to buy one because they're expensive.
Yep.
And we just made it. This was years ago.
Yep.
But it worked beautifully for portraits and worked beautifully to diffuse a flash through. And so these kinds of websites, by all means, do what they say. But as you're there, think about what they're teaching you about light and why it's working. Why when you put the light behind this particular piece of material, does it have this effect on your photograph? And then when you're in that situation and you don't have this piece of equipment, you'll find something. If you're wearing a white shirt, you'll take the shirt off and use it as your diffuser or your reflector. You'll take your T-shirt off. A friend of mine said, I needed to soften my flash one night, and I realized I was wearing my T-shirt under my shirt. So I went into the men's room, took my T-shirt off.
Yeah.
He had a white, clean T-shirt on. How clean it was after he wore it for a few hours, I don't know. But he took his T-shirt off, He literally wrapped it around. He was using a Metz 60 CT2 flash gun. He just wrapped it around the head of that, and boof, and it just was beautiful. You know, I don't know how smelly it was, but it was his way of
But the smell didn't come out on the photograph, so.
Well, no, that's right. Unless, of course, you see the subjects going, wow, yeah. You know, but these kinds of things are, you know, are just great solutions for our photography. Think on your feet, make it up as you go along.
I don't know if you saw it, but off the DIY photography page, there was a link to another site, and I'll do some investigating between now and when I post this so that I can find that link. It was a link to another guy's site, and he made a macro extension tube out of plumbing fittings. And he used one of the lens caps that you use to cover up the hole on the body of the camera when you don't have a lens attached.
Yep, the body cap.
And basically cut the front of that off so that he could have that screw-in part attached to these, you know, plumbing tubes, and then put his 50mm Canon lens on the tail end of the tube. So he ended up with his like eight inch extension tube, and he had some photos of his like his wedding ring or something. And the first shot was just, you know, how it was when he had the lens attached to the camera, and then the next shot was with this extension tube, and it had brought these tiny little diamonds up to full frame, and it was just amazing. Clever thinking.
It is clever thinking, and it's because he understands the principle and knows what he needs to do. And if you understand that, and that's what I'd encourage all our listeners to do, stop thinking about the products you have to buy, but think about what you need to achieve and then go about, you know, achieving it. Now, you will need to buy products to achieve some of them, but really, thinking on your feet, you know, one of the best ways to do macro is to buy a reversing ring. You know, it's a cheap little product. It actually makes you turn your lens around, literally. Okay. You can, if there's one available in your lens mount, go out and buy one. It's a reversing ring, and you basically, it's a metal ring with a filter thread on one end and your camera's bayonet type on the other side. You bayonet it in, you take, and then you take your lens and you screw it in on the filter thread, so your lens is actually round the wrong way on your camera. Yep, and it suddenly, it's one of the closest macro lenses you could ever have.
Wow.
And you can, you know, it's incredible how
close you can get. So you obviously then have to use manual focus because the...
You're down to everything manual. You got no connection on the camera lens. There's no talking being done at all. But it's one of the most incredible macro lenses you can ever have. Now, you have to be very careful because you've got your rear lens exposed, and that's dangerous.
Yeah.
But if you're very careful, you can photograph literally the bee's knees with this thing.
Wow.
And it's a very simple way of doing it, and it's simply because we're looking at, you know, the principle of optics, you know, and how it works. Things like this are at the heart of interesting photography. The little on the DIY photography website that you're talking to, I was looking at his bokeh technique, and I thought, yes, I'm going to try that. And it's basically a bit of black cardboard with a heart shape cut out, stuck on the end of the lens.
Yes.
And it changed the entire way. If you were doing wedding photography and you wanted to be a little bit cheesy, you know, you've got this bokeh. All the highlights in the background that are diffused through depth of field are all heart shaped, and you could make them circles or keyholes or whatever you wanted to do using this effect.
Yeah.
And it's simply just understanding the principle, because the shape that we get in diffused highlights in the background is always the shape of our aperture ring. You know, how many aperture blades we have, and so it's always got this hexagonal or octagonal sort of shape.
Right.
But what if we change that? Yeah. What if suddenly we open our lens right up and we put a different aperture on the front of our lens? It would be a 50mm lens, something relatively short, and we make it whatever shape we want. Well, now that's our aperture. And it will change the shape of every diffused highlight in the background. It could be an oval, a circle, a keyhole, a heart shape, whatever you want. It's the understanding of the principle of why that happens that then enables us to extend our thinking into other fields. And that's why it's such a great site to have a look at. But what I want everyone to do is take away from that site the principles behind what they've achieved. Not just go out and build this thing or make this thing and go out and take photos with it, but understand why it works.
Yep.
And then using all the synaptic pathways you've ever created about photography in your brain, make other things work. for you, you know? Take from that, because that's one of the fun things about photography that really works. So have a look at these two sites. I'm glad you found it, DIYphotography.net. I was fascinated when I saw it. And also strobist.blogspot.com. And we'll send the links up to audiotu.com. Please, let us know what you think of these sites. And more importantly, let us know what they taught you. That's what we'd really like to know, you know.
And if anyone gets handy quicker than I do and you build any of these projects for yourself and you then take some shots, by all means, please supply us with the shots that you took with them.
Yes, please. Yes, please. There's one in the Strobist website where he actually takes a bunch of straws, just drinking straws, and he cuts them down to about 3 or 4 inches.
Right.
And, you know, there's about, I don't know, 20 of them or whatever, 23 or 4 inch lengths of drinking straws. He puts them all together in a bundle, wraps tape around them, and puts it on the front of his flash. And what that does is make it sort of like a grid, which studio photographers use to really focus or direction of the light of the flash.
It just stops using spreading.
Yep, and it becomes this focus. You know, it just really makes your flash highly directional. Drinking straws.
Wow. Yeah.
Drinking straws. These kinds of things are just, they fascinate me because they go right to the heart, right back to when photography started. These guys had to think of all sorts of ways to make pictures happen. Now, of course, we live in the luxury of technology, but we're spending money hand over fist, you know, to try and get these things done, when all we really need to do is go down to the shop, buy a small packet of drinking straws, and we've got a grid for the front of our flash. Yeah. You know, a bit of cardboard, a bit of paper, a bit of this, a bit of that. And you've got things. You don't have to spend money, you know, to get all these things done.
That's what really blew me away with this site when I found it, was just how he was using simple, ordinary, everyday things to build these, you know, extraordinarily functional accessories for your photography. You know, and when I saw some of the product shots that he'd done using these, you know, homemade bits of gadgetry, I was like, wow, you know, you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars to go and buy all the pro accessories.
No.
You know, if you're just a little bit creative.
And I'm shocking at making things, but, you know, I'll give it a try because I think it's great. And, you know, let's see, even if you can afford to buy these things, the fun of actually doing it and adapting it to your needs is great, you know, and should be done. So definitely have a look at these two sites, everyone, and think of, and if you've come up yourself with a DIY solution, we'd love to hear about it, you know. And it could be the simplest thing, and we'll talk about it on our podcast for the benefit of our fraternity here. And unfortunately, I'm getting the feeling that it is a fraternity, because we haven't heard from any of our female listeners. You're letting us down. I think it's a fraternity in the absolute sense of the word, fellas. So if you know any girl photographers, we'd love to get their input here.
Absolutely.
And Bruce and I are both very happily married men, so this is not a quest to find partners in our lives. No. It's just to find out, you know, what female photographers are thinking, you know, because they think completely differently to men. Any married man will know that. So, you know, we'd love to hear from you. But, yeah, let us know if you've come up with a DIY solution and what you thought of these. Now, finally, if we have a few minutes, I just want to... Do we have a few minutes, Bruce?
Yeah, I was just looking at the clock. We've been here at 35 minutes, so we better make it quick.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll leave this subject for next week then. How about that? That we're going to talk about.
Okay, if you want to.
That way we can expand upon it a little more, because I don't really think we have the time. But let's just leave it here, because people are going to work and you know, walking to work, and you know, they want to hear this podcast finished before they get there. So so next week what we're going to do is talk about working within a frame. What the significance of the frame is in your composition and how you highlight the subject. And how you now, especially in digital, can manipulate that frame to suit your needs. So stay tuned. That's what we're going to talk about after we get through everybody's comments on the DIY aspect of our photography next week. I will probably, if you're an Australian listener, well, even if you're not, I am looking to lead a photo tour to Kangaroo Island in South Australia in March next year.
Oh, nice.
If you wanted to join me, let me know, because we're getting that together. It'll be 5 days on Kangaroo Island. in South Australia, which is a fascinating location. And I have been there and photographed there. There's the Remarkables and sand dunes and things like that. So that's what we're considering putting together. If the idea interests you and you want to come along, let me know. So that's just something I'll put out there for the moment so that...
So you're not necessarily looking for firm bookings just yet, just expressions of interest?
Expressions of interest at this stage, yes. There are some firm bookings from what I'm led to believe.
Right.
With a fellow I'm working with, but if you are interested, it will... let us know.
Sensational.
Apart from that, if you'd like to win a Leica... and you're an Australian listener, then go to our Total Image website, which is total-image.com.au, and follow the links. We have a survey, and there's a Leica Celux 2 to be won. So
nice.
I hope you don't mind me sending people to totalimage.com.au.
That's
something you can have a look at if you're an Australian listener as well.
Fantastic.
All right.
Okay, remember, as always, you can drop Shelton an email at shelton@audiotou.com, or you can email me, studio@audiotou.com. And if you haven't already, bookmark shuttersincpodcast.com, which will load up the audiotou.com website with only Shutters Inc. posts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're done.
Okay, well, that's another day, another, well, dollar? No, we can't really say that, can we?
No.
Another 25 cents, maybe. Another day, another nickel, as the Americans might say. Although it's quarter. A quarter is 25. I'll shut up now.
Okay. We'll talk with you next week.
Yeah, you better. Bye, everybody. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
See ya.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.